We're in our third week in Psalm 104. We might just finish it today. We finished off verse 23, 24. A man goes forth about his work and to his labor until the evening. It's part of God's creation that we're to work, we're to have that daily experience of routine in our life. And he would break up that routine with Sabbath, rest. And that's part of our lives, is to have that regularity, to have that consistency in our life. Part of God's designs. It's good. O Lord, and that's even before the fall, and we know that the work became more difficult after the fall, but it's God had planted a garden, remember back in Genesis, and he put man in that garden to tend it, to keep it. Then with the fall, the curse, then came the briars and the caterpillars and everything that you have to work against. So it became more difficult. But work was there from the beginning. And then in verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works in his wisdom. Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. This planet is incredible. Just the surface of it. It's amazing. The biosphere, the living film on this earth is incredible. Especially when you look out at the vast expanse in the universe. Is this the only planet? There's some that we have explored, and we've certainly got to the moon. And remember the expression that the first astronaut had as he looked at it, you know, was magnificent desolation. Just one huge rock as big as the United States that is desolate. There's nothing there. There's no streams. There's no birds chirping or little peepers in the pond. It's just a rock. Magnificent. Desolation. The sun is reflecting off the surface of the moon as they're walking. Very bright, a very bright rock. There's no atmosphere to absorb it and give them that blue sky. You look up, it's black, and you see a blue marble out there. And then the word starts flowing out of them. They start speaking Genesis, and that was part of their experience up there. But recent article is talking about, you know, we're going to mess up the earth, so let's go live on the moon. That's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. It's magnificent desolation, just a big chunk of rock. God has created us to live and inhabit and fill this earth. That's his desire. He's put in our hearts to explore, though. So going to the moon and getting some moon rock and doing all those wonderful things is something he's put in the heart of man. He's put the cosmos. He's put the universe in our hearts that we desire to pursue these things. And ultimately, the purpose is to know him through this. It's to reveal his glory. It's not just to learn more cool things and make Star Trek shows. It's to reveal his glory and get closer to God. And that's what the psalmist is saying here in verse 24. How manifold, how multifaceted are thy works. And just the richness of it. We're going to be talking about the ocean here in a little bit. The earth is full of thy riches. Think about it for a minute. It's a very dense planet. Some of the planets that we have in our solar system are just balls of gas. They're very gaseous. And they're very light. Earth is extremely dense. It's got wonderful minerals in it. They're just there. All kinds of minerals and metals that are in the Earth's crust that would be to the service of man, that we could build automobiles and computers and cell phones with. Just amazing that God has supplied us with such a great planet to occupy and a great front porch to look on and say, wow, the heavens declare the glory of God. And he's given us a great ocean. 70% of the earth is covered with water, right? Well, that's just the surface. If you were to take that and flatten out all that water, the whole earth would be covered a mile deep. It's not hard to believe that there was a flood. The whole earth would be covered a mile deep with water if you were to flatten all the water out across. So some places in the ocean is 5 miles deep. So average that out, we have a very watery ball that we live on. And his creatures that he brought up from the dust are also kind of likewise. We are mostly water in our bodies. Very important substance. But here we see in verse 25, he's going to talk about this ocean, the wide sea. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things, creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts, teeming with things, living creatures. As we pursue this, before I get into some oceanography here, We're going to be looking at the Word of God in kind of a form of a pie. That is the sweet pie, apple pie you can think of. So there's going to be 3 ingredients in the crust and 10 ingredients in the filling. I'm going to mention them right now, and we're going to be covering those as we go forward. But I want to touch on them first. 3 ingredients in the crust have to do with the works of God. The first one we've already mentioned was verse 24, where we started, "Thy works in the earth are multifaceted, they're numerous." And that's his creation, the physical things. Psalm 105, verse 5, talks about the works of his word, and that's manifest in people. God sent prophets, he sent Jesus in the latter days to the literal word, and the manifestation of his word in people. So the works of God through his word in people. That's ingredient number 2 in the crust, making our wonderful pie today. And the third one is Psalm 106. So these 3 Psalms, 104, 105, and 106, we're going to be kind of framing things in a pie kind of shape and form to help us remember it, help us learn it. The third one is Psalm 106, verse 2. "Thy works of might," that's the power of God dividing the oceans and the literal things where his hand comes down and he winks at something and it blows up, that kind of thing. So the power of God, the sheer work of God. The crust now is being established in this wonderful pie. The filling, though, is our life. My life, your life, in between these works of God, his creation, his word, and his power, is the filling. That's our life. We're going to come up to the verse in 34. It talks about my meditation of him being sweet. So the idea here, it's a sweet pie. It's an apple pie. Good seasonal thing to be talking about. And here we see 10 things. Go through them very quickly. We'll be breaking them out. The number 1 is the sweet meditation. That's being glad in the Lord. We're going to look at Philippians. And that has to do with the mind. Terry touched on that. Desiring that full inventory, getting ready, preparing for revival, and doing that type of stuff. Part of that is to get the mind ready. Number 2, in the sweet filling, this is our life, is blessing the Lord. Number 3, praising the Lord. And these are all actually concentrated right between verse 34 and verse 5 of Psalm 105, all these ingredients, all these 10. You'll see them scattered out through the next 3 songs here. But they're all concentrated too, from 104, 34 to 105, verse 5. Sweet meditation, blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. Number 4 is giving thanks unto the Lord. Number 5 is singing unto him. Number 6 is talking to him and talking of him. Number 7 is glorying in his name. It's kind of like boasting about Christ and being not ashamed of the gospel. Number 8 is seeking the Lord. Number 9 is also seeking the Lord. One is seeking his face and the other is seeking his strength. Number 10 is remembering. Remembering what? That brings us back to the cross, which holds everything together. The works of his creation, the works of his word, the works of his might, his power. Well, that's a sweet pie that we have today. And as we look at his creation, now part of the crust on this earth, part of the surface is the sea. And we see that there are innumerable things. And I forgot the book I was going to bring, and I was looking around, but I know there was another one here today. But a lot of times it's children's books that have these creatures of the sea. Why don't they make them for adults? We need this too in our life, you know. We need to, we experience it as we show it to our grandchildren or children. I guess that's part of it. But I think there should be books that are designed for adults that really talk about these things. It's amazing. I'm looking through books with Asher, Eliana, or even Isaac now, who just likes to crinkle and eat the pages. But it's just like, I didn't even know that was there. But you think about it. Think about the ocean. And just the surface of it is the 70% of the earth. You think about the depth just for a minute here. Let's talk about that. Just the depth of it. We have big buildings that, you know, the Empire State Building is 102 stories. So it's about 1,250 feet high. That's pretty big. Okay? The average depth of the ocean is 12,000 feet. That's the average. That's not the tallest building or the deepest. 12,000 feet is the average depth of the ocean. That's 10 times the Empire State Building. That's a lot of floors of life. Do you want to go on different levels of floors with me and explore the ocean? Which one do you want to press? Let's get in the elevator and press a button. Do you want to go to the 10th floor? 1,000 feet down or so? You might see a Sela camp. What's that? A Sela camp is something that Darwin, when he was coming up with evolution, they found a fossil and say, well, look at that dinosaur in the rocks. That must be the missing link between when the fish started walking and became people. What a great idea. And we'll date the rocks and date about hundreds of millions of years ago, this dinosaur of a fish lived. And then it walked on the land. So this is the missing link, this fossil. Then in the 1900s, someone caught one. You know, fossil, that thing's alive. Hundreds of millions of years, the magic wand that the godless atheists would have you believe that these things are all chance. All of a sudden, now they're holding one. 150-pound one. These are big, pretty big fish. Since the first catch, which was in 1930, about, there's been 80 different catches. They're fairly rare, but they're there. They're about the 10th floor on this exploring of the ocean. But you can go on. Which other floor do you want to go to? You want to go all the way to the bottom? Yeah, let's go all the way to the bottom. Better put your pressure suits on. There's a lot of pressure down there. 1,200 feet down or more, you're going to find something with lanterns on it. A fish that's bioluminescent, that has a little lantern. It's got a built-in headlight. No batteries. You don't got to worry about it. You give one to your kid. It's one of the toys you can give that finally doesn't have batteries. It lights up on its own. But God has caused that thing to be down there for man to discover. He's put the cosmos in our heart. And the interesting thing with these verses is that God enjoys it too. He's not just waiting for us to discover. He enjoys these things that he created. Let's look at that. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Thou mayest givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. So God has taken care of the ecosystem, the food cycle and the food chain there. That's all part of God's design. And a lot of things in God's creation, he has built and he's pulled the ripcord and let it go. He's allowed that cycle to continue, whether it's an ecosystem, a food web, or whatever it is, to be self-sustaining. So amazing, those things in themselves, and very delicate and intricate, but resilient, that God would have these things in place. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. So God's presence interwoven in his creation. He's not aloof, he's not distant. He's very aware when the sparrow falls, as Jesus would say. He's very aware of his creation. Every atom in this universe does not escape the presence of God. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. So we know ultimately that life belongs to God. That is the one box that is the most difficult box for the atheistic evolutionists to open. They can't even come up with any ideas on this one. They've got all kinds of crazy ideas on why this happens or why this happens. But this one, how life begins and where life comes from. What is life? What is energy even? And to really understand these things escapes the greatest of minds. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. He shall rejoice in his works. So not only has he put these things in faraway places waiting for us to discover and waiting for us to find these things and be surprised and be amazed and be in awe of and put that in our hearts to go look for these things, but he enjoys these things himself. That's the kind of God that we serve. He actually enjoys. He says, this is good, that thing I created. Wait till you find out. Wait till you see it. So these things he's created, he enjoys them himself. That verse talks about that, verse 31. Look at it again. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Terry read that his truth will endure forever. He doesn't change. God is consistent. Mindy read about fully resting from Peter. That was a different translation. I liked that. That's why I wrote it. The actual verses down. I wanted to see, go back and study that a little bit more. But that fully resting on the Lord, he's that rock that we can rest on. He doesn't change. It's not like he's going to change tomorrow on us and, oh, you know, I'm tired of you, Paul. No, his grace and mercy endures with me. What he began in me, he is faithful to continue and complete. Praise God. Let's explore a little more. Anybody want to press a button? Which floor do you want to go to? Floor 300. All right. Who said that? Nobody. How about the anglerfish? The anglerfish has not a lantern in front of him dangling, but it's a little worm. He actually has a fishing pole stuck out of his head with a little kind of worm appendage that's on it. So it's a little piece of like loose skin or whatever, and it looks like a worm squig in there. It's amazing. I mean, not only is it amazing and wonderful, it's just like, it's funny. It's like God did some things that are pretty amazingly funny, and it's just like, that's crazy. That's amazing, God. And it's like, not only does it satisfy part of me that wants to learn and know, but it amazes me. It satisfies that part of me that just is just wonderful. It brings a smile to my face that God would put a fishing rod on a fish's head with a little worm sticking out of it. And the fish actually catches small fish that way. It works. So the anglerfish is one of my favorite. Not because of just the fishing rod stuck out of his head, but because of the representation that God also breathed on this creature, which speaks to the giving of the Son on the cross. You see, the mom fish, in their union together, the dad fish, who is smaller in this case, it's unusual for creatures. It's an unusual creature to begin with, but the dad fish will attach to the mom fish underneath her belly, and they have the union that we're familiar with in the mating cycle, but he actually totally disappears into her. That's it. He's over. He absorbs into her as he transfers his DNA into her and young are produced. He dies. He disappears. He's gone. He's absorbed into her. Now, you can't get any more of one than that, can you? What a picture of marriage. What a picture of union. What's something that we would discover and be fascinated and say, glory to God. That's amazing, God. That speaks to me truth, a truth that endures forever, certainly. Where else do you want to go? I think in the future, maybe when I retire, I'll have more time to do PowerPoints and do wonderful presentations of this type, you know, to be able to see these things, images of them, you know, and by the time I'm ready to bring this together, right now as it is, there's no way that's going to happen. But I'm looking forward in the future to have presentations be a little more useful in that way, use some of the technology that way. So even on the first floor, the 70% of the earth, we see the mention of the ships. There go the ships. And you see the waves and the illustrations of that, the power of that, the moon and the effect of the tides, all the things that are happening on the surface, the rising of dolphins as they arch over. One of the pictures that I have in our bedroom wall that paid for $10 in the mall 30, 40 years ago as an anniversary present. Don't tell Gretchen it was $10. But it's in our bedroom. And it's two dolphins that are rising out of the water. And, you know, just the waves there. Just in a vast sea. Here we are. And we're just going to stay together and keep going forward. So it's a reminder to us, just the surface of the sea. Praise God. Next time you're at the Empire State Building, realize it's just 1/10 of the average depth of the ocean, and be amazed. God has so many things at different depths. Seahorses, invisible things that are clear, the jellyfish and anemones, fascinating as they pulse, eat through, the big stingrays, beautiful as they glide through. I just love the ocean, but I get so seasick. I would probably be living on the ocean, I mean literally on a boat, if I had better sea legs, because I really love being out there and the excitement of being on a boat and catching fish and that kind of stuff. It's thrilling. I was out with my dad and mom and I think one of my sisters out on off the coast of New Jersey. New York City had a great blackout in the 1980, I think it was, or 81. Big storm, blacked out New York City. There was looting, mess. Out, same storm, I'm fishing off the coast of New Jersey and out 20 miles out to sea. That boat was a rockin'. It was just a rockin'. I've never been so sick in my life. It took me 3 days for the earth to stop rocking after I was on hard soil. It just kept going like this, everything. So sick. They say even the captain got sick. The only person that didn't get sick was my dad. That boy, that guy had sea legs like nobody. But the fishing was amazing. In that churning of the water, the bluefish, there was oxygenation happened. The fish were rising, the small fish, the bluefish were going after them. And then the sharks were coming up after those. People were pulling up bluefish that are 30, 40 pounds cut in half, still flopping because the shark bit it on the way out of the water. Exciting stuff. I wish, Lord God, I wish I could someday get back there and do that again. But it is a delight. God delights in it, and he's made it for us to delight in. I did enjoy that, even as sick as I got. I enjoy going back to that story, as you could tell. Thank you, Lord God. God's interaction them with all the while, the breath that he gives, that's all part of God. Life comes from God. He's the life giver. Important to know that. And he's waiting for man to discover these things he set out there. I think it's important for us to invest and be the greatest scientist on this earth. And by the way, Christians have that reputation of being the greatest scientist on the earth, historically and to present. The Nobel Prize winners. You look at it, take a study of it, all of those. Why? Because they're inspired beyond just the practical. They know that God has hidden something here, and it's going to speak something really cool to me. God is blessed as we discover these things. Relate to a story which has nothing to do with the ocean, it has to do with the Minnie Mouse dress. But Gretchen was out, and Kohl's, I believe it was, and she came across a Minnie Mouse dress. And what is she envisioning inside that Minnie Mouse dress? Not herself, but her granddaughter, right? And so I see Eliana in that, and she looks wonderful, but where does my mind go? My mind goes to a lady in a store smiling as she's envisioning her daughter and her granddaughter in a Minnie Mouse dress. It's not like a big Minnie Mouse thing, you know, but it's very nice. I was delighting in the fact, just thinking about that, like, she got really blessed. I know she got excited when she found and discovered this thing. So it's not a seahorse, it's not a coelacanth, but it's a Minnie Mouse dress, and that's the best I could do as far as paralleling that, okay? But I think it's telling us something about God, that God's really delighted when we discover these things and we give him glory. He's like, wait till they see it, wait till they find it. And he knows it delights us, and it brings a charge to us, and it revives us and refreshes us as we discover and delight in his creation. So part of the crust of this sweet pie is the creation of God. wow, what a wonderful crust to be surrounded with. Our life is in the middle, encapsulated in this. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. Verse 32, he looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Just the inflection of God and it can cause the earth to do things. The power of God. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So this verse is where I start to pick up the list of the filling, which is our life. So the first place we're going to turn today is Philippians 4, verse 8 there. We know that God wants us to love him. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He loves us dearly, more than we could ever measure. Who can separate us from that love of God? The challenge is out there. Nothing can. Part of our loving him is with our mind. So the first filling that we're going to be talking about, this number one, is sweet meditation. I will be glad in the Lord. So Philippians 4:8 speaks to this. And this has to do with loving the Lord with our mind. How do you love the Lord with your mind? Right here, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate on these things. These are sweet meditations. This isn't a dry command from a dry God. This is a breath of love to you, where God wants you to be in this abundant life that he's promised us. Terry, last night in prayer, said something that cut my thoughts about being nourished in his promises. That word, being nourished, I don't know where she got it, it just was inspiration. Being nourished by the promise of God. His word is true. It's solid. This can be taken as a promise of God. Not just a dry command of we got to, we ought to, we're supposed to. This is the love of God breathing upon us. Think on these things. Your mind is nourished. This is a promise of God that will nourish you. Praise God. I don't think it's any accident that God has given us taste buds that can process sweet things. Some of you have been on a sugar fast this last, I think it ends today, doesn't it? Congratulations. And it's good that it ends too, because God has given you taste buds to process sweet things. That's a gift of God. To be used properly, just like all things. We're not to live on ice cream or live on these things, but he's given us something there that should speak something to us. This is a God that wants us to enjoy. This is a God that wants us to have pleasure. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. In the many floors and depths of the ocean, a lot of the things that we experience in this life are just first floor. Like his creation and seeing that coelacanth, seeing the angler fish. That's first floor stuff in our experience with God. The meditation brings us into deeper places with God and deeper experiences of joy that ice cream can't bring. That's just a surface thing. We talked about wine last week. We talked about the literal wine, and we talked about the new wine, the spiritual wine, who's Jesus. He's the new wine. The physical wine is just a surface thing. If you try to find the depth of that, you're going to get in trouble. You try to take that to its depth. That's where addiction happens. That's where abuse happens of your body, is when you take it beyond the first floor. Take these things that got ice cream, whatever it is, brownies. If you take it beyond the first floor, now it's You're trying to find the maximum out of it on the 10th floor when God said that's not where it's supposed to be. Those are just commercials to take you to the real substance. The sign that's outside, I noticed as I counted, I lost count after eight. There was eight people that looked at this word. It says free word on it. It came from last Christmas. They used to said free breakfast on it. And then somehow it got erased and someone put word on there. I don't know if it was accidental or what. Maybe Mark remembers, but it stuck ever since. So it just says free. Instead of free breakfast, it says free word. And so that anything out there that's, it kind of catches the eye, right? So people are like looking at it and it's making them think. I know it irritates Gretchen a little bit because she still doesn't know what it means. What does that mean? Why do we have that? But I know it causes people like, what does that mean? You know, it causes someone to start thinking and what could possibly that mean? So as I was thinking about it and seeing people look at that, I'm like, hey, I don't want just the commercial out there. I want to go put the substance as well. So that's why during worship this morning with this teaching in context, I wanted to put the substance out there as well, that free word, to put some Bibles right out there. And that's what I did. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. The taste buds, the gifts of God that he's given us are only meant to be the commercial. And to exploit the commercial and to take it so far, we're going to find emptiness because it was never intended to carry us to the place that God wants us ultimately to be in fellowship with him. If I were to tell you that I got a Lexus car, would you be like, wow, he's fleshly? And I said, well, I want to show it to you. It's just amazing. It's an amazing engineering machine. And so you come over to my house and I open up the garage, which I will have someday for Gretchen. And the door opens up and there's this huge screen TV in there. And I say, hold on, you got to see this. And I click the button and it's a Lexus commercial. No, wait till you see it take the corners. Oh, he's going to lift the hood now. Look at that. Listen. And you think, I'm out of my mind. That's my Lexus car. How'd you like it? Good. Have a nice life. You've lost your marbles. Yeah, and so is our tendency. We've lost our mind when we try to extract out of life what's just intended to be something very surfacey. It's just the commercial to allow us to come to a deeper place of pursuing God. He's given us these gifts on the surface for us to be satisfied with just a little bit and to continue to work down into the things of God. Don't be satisfied with the commercial, folks. You want the real thing. His creation is just an advertisement of who he is. Don't fall in love with the creation or anything created. So that was number one in the pie filling. Maybe we'll get a couple more. By the way, as you walk with God, your thirst and your hunger will be for the things of God. And you won't be satisfied as much with the ice cream or the house that's splendid, you know, this wonderful house with a 10-acre pond and all the things I used to dream about. All of that will kind of take a dull haze to it. And what you really desire and what's really been wet inside of you is a thirst that can't be quenched by those things anymore. They're good, and you use them to bless others, and they're wonderful, but there's something now that's developed inside of you because you've gone past the commercial and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And your thirst is now for the righteousness of God. See people get saved, to see people be discipled and grow and mature in the Lord. Gretchen mentioned Sue and her son Matt there. And I tell you, there's no greater delight as to see These kids who used to be in Sunday school, used to be little ones and a handful. And you're wondering, is this person ever going to be anything except trouble? Are they going to be in jail someday just because of their rebellion and their craziness? And to see somebody mature and loving the Lord with their life is a great blessing that satisfies a hunger that nothing cut of God's creation. One of the Psalms speaks to that. Who can with their money redeem a brother? For the cost of their soul is priceless. There's a depth there that goes way beyond first, second, third, fourth floor. You're transcending into some deeper things that are much more satisfying. The last verse of Psalm 104, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. This verse came to mind as we were passing over the railroad tracks today. And there's a guy out there, he had a big long beard, and he's like smoking a cigarette. He looked kind of nervous. And as I'm getting closer to church, I'm thinking, is this guy going to do the wicked no more kind of thing? Is he going to fulfill this verse? Is he going to jump in front of a train? So I had to go back. And by the time I got there, he was gone. I don't mean he got hit by a train. His car was gone too. But this is a difficult reality. And interesting, it just comes at the end of the psalm there. And it's almost like this person has pushed away something out of their thoughts. Somebody has pushed away something that has been antagonizing them and torturing them. And it's like, hey, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. They've just got to a place where they're resting now, as Mindy shared, fully in God. Let the wicked be no more. You know, that is a place, that let is a place of rest. It's not like I'm going to actively now go kill the evil person. It's let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. It's Romans 12 speaks to this. It's give space for the Lord to take care of that situation. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, Old and New Testament. Leave space for God to do that. And that's what we're talking about in verse 35, this person has entered a place in their life of being able to be satisfied that God will take care of this and is resting in that. And they're being nourished by that promise. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. So this is kind of the opposite of the rapture that we think about, where the believers are going to be taken out of the earth. The idea of consumed out of the earth is like quickly being taken out, being snatched away. And we know in the new covenant and the new wine here that we have is that the believers are going to be the ones that are going to be consumed out of the earth. They're going to be no more here. They're going to be taken away in what we call the rapture and to be with God, ever present with him. And then to live on that new heaven and new earth. So a lot of promises there. But just in contrast here, we see the psalmist has came to a place where he is or she is at rest now. That ultimately God will deal with the sinners. God will deal with the wicked. These are things that can trouble us. And we live in a time and place where we are fed with these type of inputs, whether through your cell phone or the TV, of what is happening on the earth in the news, which tends to be reports of what's happening in the wicked. And occasionally they'll throw on there, it's almost like a surprise. They'll throw on a story of something positive, right? But for the most part, it's very difficult news of things that are happening. And it can cause you to get into a place of unrest. It can cause you to be apostate. And I believe that's going to feed into the apostasy of our time. And it's, I believe, happening in the church. Is the overwhelming input of the negativity that's happening on the earth. We weren't designed and wired to be able to know everything that's happening, everybody that's suffering, and everything that's going on, all of it all at once. It's just not wired for that. God hasn't created us for that. It's going to bring us to a place that's going to feed into this apostasy, where the love of many will wax cold because iniquity will abound. How do we know iniquity is abounding? Because of CNN. Because of our cell phones constantly beeping and giving us the latest flash news. Be careful of what you feed on. The filling of your life is Philippians 4. Think on what is pure and lovely and good report. This is not only a command of God, it's life. It's life-giving. It's a good place to stop with two of the 10 things in the filling. God has for us to enjoy this abundant life. Well, as we break into Psalm 105, we'll be talking more about this sweet pie, the crust of God, and the filling that goes within. We thank you for your time that we've been able to interact with your word today, Lord God, and be driven to places, Lord, that are cool, in the depths of the sea or up on the moon, Lord God. Your word is inspiring. It causes us to think. It causes us to be motivated, Lord Jesus, but it also causes us to rest. Places that have been unrestful, Lord God, you've caused us to lay down in green pastures and by still waters. You're there present with us, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity today. Opportunities that are before us this week, we pray over the women's Bible study. You'd multiply that in the men's Bible study. God Almighty, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for our lives of our children and grandchildren, Lord God. Right now we pray and intercede for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen.